You're listening to Better Than Fiction with your hosts, D.L. Nelson and Scott Sackett.
All right, welcome back to Better Than Fiction, your pop culture podcast. As always, I'm your host, D.L. Nelson, joined by my other host,
Scott Sackett.
Yo, Scott, it's the episode 521.
I'm not wooing.
Okay, don't woo. Thanks for not wooing. Okay, so we're going to do something a little different on this episode. Unfortunately, this week, and this is April the 5th,
as we
record, on April the 1st, Ed Piskor killed himself. So I want to talk about this.
Okay.
This is very upsetting. And right now, I want to say something to you, Scott. You know, I never cared about our numbers. I never really cared about our numbers. We just did it because we're having fun, right?
Sure.
And I know we've got listeners. I know we've got listeners, even some overseas. But we just do this for ourselves. And when Barry was on here, we just did it for ourselves. But right now, I wish we had more listeners. I really wish we had more listeners for right now, because this is what I got to say. So Ed Piskor, some people called him, he's an indie creator, of course. He did mainstream stuff, but they've called him like an outlaw comics guy. He embraced other things besides just the mainstream comics, although he did grow up on mainstream comics to some extent. But I've been following his career for quite some time. Back in 2014, I went to San Diego 10 years ago to Comic-Con. And I met Tom Scholey and Jim Rugg out there. Unfortunately, Ed Piskor was not part of their posse that year, but I'm very well aware of him. I was like, where's this guy at? Because I was hoping to meet him out there. Come to find out, he went the next year in 15 and he kind of blew up out there. He did a lot of promo for some of the stuff we're going to talk about tonight. But anyway, so I've known about him for more than 10 years. I've been following his career, been buying what he puts out. To name a few things, he had a book about a hacker book that he did called WYSIWYG. He did X-Men Grand Design, 3 big volumes of that. He did The Red Room, which is the dark web snuff film series of comics.
Did he self-publish that, or who published that?
That's Fantagraphics.
That's Fantagraphics,
okay. And then the big thing that put him on the map was, of course, Hip Hop Family Tree. So he did 4 volumes of that, which... You know, it's. I haven't read all of it. I've read a little bit of it, but you know, that's like a 500 plus page book. Maybe 100 pages of it are extra material, but it's a big commitment of the ground floor of hip hop. Which he was really into.
Yeah, it's a graphic novel series that is the history of hip hop from very early on.
Yeah, from like late 70s all the way up to like 85 or something.
Yeah, maybe mid 70s.
But yeah. So let's talk about what happened. So what happened March the 26th, I want to say, something like that. There was allegations from a girl, a woman who's 21 now, and she said that 4 years prior, when she's maybe 17, he was inappropriately talking to her on the internet. And she posted on text messages. And apparently she had, from what she said, and this is probably during COVID or maybe right before COVID, but anyway, she'd seen some of his art, commented on it,
on Instagram.
Okay, on Instagram, and then he talked back to her, not knowing who she was initially, and then found out she was an artist, and then he took a liking to her art.
But and they like some of the same kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
They have the same kind of interest.
Right, right. Now, so to me, that stuff starts off pretty innocently. He doesn't know that she's maybe underage. He doesn't know anything about her. And from what I understand, she contacted him first. And then it kind of got crazy after that. Now, what she puts out is on these texts that she had saved for 4 years, which... You know, if this is a big deal, why didn't she? If this is a big deal, that the law would get involved in, or even her parents, why is this just not coming to light 4 years later? I don't know. But she posts these.
Well, you know why? Because he just signed a big contract with Abrams.
Well, he was getting ready.
But
she probably wouldn't know that.
Well, she might not have. And also, she did. She continued to talk to him after these.
Okay, so she posts. She did some screenshots of the text that he sent her. Now, part of the problem with this, in my opinion, is you can tell it's edited because there's no replies to what she's really saying, to what started it or what she said in between. So yeah, some of the stuff he sent her didn't look... It looked pretty suspect, but you don't know what the context was of it. right? You don't know what she's saying to him.
Well, and what he said, and well, we'll get into that. But what he said, what I saw, what he said was, he said something about, he commented on a picture of hers that she had posted online.
Right.
And he said, either said you look sexy or naughty or something like that.
No, it was
Or was it you look...
No. It was, I don't know about a picture of her, but he commented on her art. And one of the comments was, this is pretty innocent, of course. This is nothing, but it said, he was like, you know, starting out saying stuff like, he commented on her art. He goes, hey, I hope you're not under 17 or something like that, because by her art, she's further a better artist than he was at that point.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. And then another thing, he asked her if she was a naughty girl.
That's what, yeah.
And, you know, but there's a reason potentially why he said that. And then the last thing was something like, hey, you're not a snitch, are you? And then there was a thing about, if you ever come to my side of Pennsylvania, he lives on, I guess, the east side, and she lived back maybe on the west side of Pennsylvania, you could crash at my place. Offered her a place to stay if she ever came over to his side of the state. Now, that all looks pretty bad, clearly, but you don't know what they're talking about in between because all that stuff's cut out. So then, fast forward a few days later, he posts a letter on the 1st of April, and it's a big 8 or so page letter. It's a big letter he posts, and he has a rebuttal to some of that, or if not all of it. And, you know, his rebuttal is, hey, I've had other people stay at my place. I never
come to a show over here, you can. And several people stepped forward and said they did stay at his place, and there was never anything.
Right. And so, and then apparently she had done some kind of petty crime, and he asked her if he was just a snitch. You know, he addressed everything that she brought up, and whether if he's lying or she's lying or if there's a truth in the middle, it really doesn't matter to me. Still, he really didn't do anything. It wasn't like he was asking her for pictures or she was, as far as we know.
And that hadn't been alleged. And she's never alleged that he did.
Right, and they may not even have met face-to-face, right?
As far as I know, they didn't. Yeah.
Some other guy comes forward and says, "Oh, he's tried to get somebody to do something to him." I'm not going to go into what she wanted, but to meet his or to get a contact number for his editor or his publisher or something, and he flat out denies that. And
he said at the time that she's a legend. I think it was before Hip Hop Family Tree, and he's like, I wasn't in a position to
be anybody
to demand any kind of sexual favors from somebody for something I could do for him.
Or even, he might not even have that contact.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So anyways, so he writes this big letter, and as you're reading it, you know he's going down a dark path. And he talks about how he's not going to get the big sign-on bonus or the front money to create or to have his strip published in book form, $75,000. Also, in the meantime, the local news that came to his parents' house wanted a statement, which I don't know why they would ever do that. This isn't that big of a story.
I don't know why the local news. We'll get into that in a second.
Unless the powers that be that are stirring up all this shit.
That's the thing.
Gave the parents.
I guarantee you the Abrams deal. And didn't Fantagraphics come out against him, or did they not?
I don't know.
Maybe they didn't. But
right.
The Abrams deal, I guarantee you, people on the internet were calling Abrams, emailing Abrams, why do you let this, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And probably same thing with the news. People were calling the local news, and they went to follow up, and they went to his parents' house, put their address on the...
Yeah, so... I mean, how irresponsible is that, that the local news took this story? It's not even that big of a story.
Again, he's not being accused of doing anything illegal.
Right. And they go and harass his elderly parents, which brought a lot of shame on him. And, you know, comic book artists live and die by getting book deals and things like that. And so, you know, the shame on his parents, on his family... Book deal going bad. His cartoonist kayfabe, which they've him and Jim Rugg have done over 1,000.
Their YouTube channel.
Yeah, they've done over 1,000 videos.
How many views do they have, do you know, or how many subscribers? I mean, they have a lot. They have a Patreon.
I think they might. Don't they have over 1 million views?
They might. I think they were the most viewed comic book YouTube channel.
I'm sure they are. Yeah, so they've done like over 1,000 videos, something crazy. They've been around for, what, 5-6 years now, yeah. Something like that. Anyways, he gets Patreon money for that. That was all coming to an end because people were either going to unsubscribe or he couldn't do videos. They had to take down all the comments on that because people were...
I guarantee you, people are railing on him. People complained to Patreon and Patreon would take it down. Yeah. That's what happens nowadays.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, and he saw the... He had tunnel vision on how bad everything was coming down around him because he didn't have probably a plan or any kind of mental toughness to handle something like this he was not prepared for. And so, unfortunately, as you read the letter, the 8-page letter, he deteriorated into real dark places and despair where he started giving out stuff like how much money he had, who owed him money, like as far as publishers.
Yeah, he said, make sure that, you know, they pay his Fantagraphics owe me X amount, make sure the money goes to my parents.
Yeah, and then like, even up to like where he's paying rent for somebody, how much their rent is or something. Oh yeah, somebody
like a cousin or something he paid rent for, so like make sure the rent's paid, or yeah. I've already paid the rent. Or
yeah, I've paid the rent for a couple months. And then like, you know, hey, here's my car license plate number, here's how much money I got in my wallet, and you know, just...
He put his cell phone number on there.
Clearly, this was some kind of call for help, but not really, because I think he was already determined at this point.
Yeah, at that point, it would have taken professional intervention, I think.
Professional, not a psychiatrist or anything like that. Even it would have taken, like, the police to get there and break his door down or wherever he was at. Well,
somebody that knows, yeah.
Yeah.
Can, yeah.
So...
Not like friends. I mean, I think at that point, like, people... Because I've seen a lot of people saying, oh, man, I tried to get hold of him.
Yeah.
And I think that...
People called him, but his phone went straight to voicemail.
Yeah, he wasn't answering his phone.
And I'm guessing since he left his plate number, he probably drove out somewhere. I don't know how he ended it, but I don't know if he killed... I don't know what he did, but the poor guy was only 41 years old. I say poor guy because since then I went back and I've been a fan for a long time. I think I've got everything he's worked on, but except for maybe his new webcomic thing that was going to get published. But you know, I say poor guy because I went back and watched some of the videos where he's like, you know, sitting in with people as they're breakdancing and as they're doing their hip-hop music, and he's sitting on the floor and he's drawing them, or he's going to an old house that he used to live with his parents when they were dirt poor. I mean, they were really poor people. And he was showing around this house that me and you would not walk in this house.
Oh, yeah.
This house looked like the floors might just cave in under you, you know. And there was holes in the walls. And he was saying how his dad, when he drew stuff, his dad was like, and he draws like his house in the drawings he would do. And his dad said, hey, why do you have to always draw the holes in the wall, you know, when you're drawing a house or whatever? And so he just came up super poor, and he made it through a different channels than what most people. And that's what, you know, in comics, you always have to make it through a different channel or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Or everybody's going to make it through the same channel.
Right.
So he went around the norm and he made it, and he's got this successful YouTube channel that everybody loves, or a lot of people love anyway. And if you read about it, people who affected, a lot of people were watching his YouTube channel when they couldn't go out during COVID.
When his channel got really big.
And you know, you're learning about comics, you're learning about comic history from this guy who just loved comics. And, you know, if somebody would have came to his aid, or was able to come to his aid, not that they didn't try. I mean, you know, when you're in your dark spot, the next day, he may not have been in that dark spot if somebody can stop him right then and tell him, hey, you know, this will blow over. Keep your head down. Keep drawing. Disconnect your internet. Disconnect your phone. Don't take any phone calls. Help move to another state if you have to. Move to France or Japan or wherever you got contacts at. Leave all this behind. You come back in 5 years and do something. If you come back in 5 years, the kayfabe thing will take off again and people let this blow over. But instead, he let all these internet fuck-offs just bring him down, you know, and the damn guy killed himself. And, I mean, this isn't worth killing yourself over. I mean, there's a lot of people who do way worse.
Yeah.
Don't do any jail time or don't do any kind of, there's a slap on the wrist or whatever. And the guy didn't even act on anything. There's not been any allegations that said that it's come forward, any kind of like, oh, well, we got this on him too,
well,
or we got this on him too.
In fact, in Pennsylvania, 16 is the age of consent. So technically, he didn't even break the law.
I read that. I didn't know if that was 100% accurate or not.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
Okay. But caveat.
But. Right. But even so, and then there were some professionals that came down on him, and that really burned me, man.
Oh, yeah.
There's a few professionals that came down on him.
There's still some professionals that are coming down on him.
Well, and like, if I saw these people at a con, I'd probably have to say something to them, because this is completely, I feel like you've got to back your people. And I'm kind of thinking that...
Well, hang on. Let me modify that, though.
I will say you got to back your people until this guy gets 100%, like he's arrested.
Well, what you have to do is not rush to judgment.
Exactly.
But it's not necessarily... I mean, and see, that's the thing.
But you got to bring your friend in and go, look, dude, it's bad right now, but I'm still your friend.
And yeah, you can't throw people under the bus.
No.
But here's the thing. Nobody in comics is friends.
Well, I disagree. I completely disagree. That's not a true statement at all.
Well, I don't know, man. Statement. I think, okay, let me put it this way.
No, I don't think that's
true. The comic industry is filled with a lot of people that are backstabbers.
Well, you could say that about a lot of different places, especially when you're vying for the same jobs, maybe. But he wasn't really vying for jobs that other people are vying. He's making his own thing. He's doing his own thing.
Yeah, but jealousy does horrible things to people.
But he's not trying to be the next Batman artist with 50 other people wanting to do it. He's doing his own thing. So really, they may be jealous, but I feel like you've got to back your friend no matter what until he's actually in cuffs and he's going behind bars.
Even then, I would argue you still can support your friend. You can say, I don't condone what he did, but I'm his friend. You know, but at the very least, the problem is people on the internet in a lot of situations jump to, and it's because they feel like they get power out of it. Because they go, well, he did that. And they get he's a scumbag. Look what he did. And then they wrap themselves up in some kind of, look at me. I'm a great male feminist and I've got to defend this girl. And so they're calling Abrams, they're doing whatever, they're calling Jim Rugg, they're emailing these people. And, you know, it's like, all it takes is like, say if they had a million viewers or a million subscribers, even if 1% of them was kind of disgruntled subscribers looking for something that's a lot of people. You know, a lot of people, they were kind of out there, invisible.
No, I know.
And, you know, it's crazy.
I'm very hopeful that him and Jim Rugg, and Tom Shirley to some extent, but especially Jim Rugg, had a sit down after this and said... And I hope he told Jim Rugg, hey, we're still friends, but put a statement out saying that, in that way, it's not going to bring you down with me. I really hope he told Jim Rugg that, and not Jim Rugg turned his back on him. Because if Jim Rugg turned his back on him...
Yeah, because it looks like Jim Rugg turned his back on him. But in the letter, he didn't say anything bad about Jim Rugg.
He didn't. And he said Jim Rugg came over, gave him some soup, and gave him a hug.
Yeah, so that makes me think that they were... that.
I don't know.
But yeah, Jim Rugg said, basically, I've broken all contact with him, or something like that.
I think, at that point...
That's a mistake.
Jim Rugg should have said, what did you really do that's... I think Jim Rugg should have been a stand-up guy and, like, took his side and said, look... Or maybe not said anything, but if he had to say something, say, look, he's a friend of mine, what did he do? We're moving on.
He could have said... You know, Ed is my friend. I've known Ed.
Yeah.
I don't know what the accusations are, but I'm gonna wait until the facts come out.
Right. Exactly.
He could have said that.
Yeah.
But he would have been, they would have been after him.
That's so much.
Mean, but you just go,
they need a big
whatever. Yeah, they need a big exactly. You just, I mean, here's the thing. Here's the crazy thing.
You can't
thing.
Let those people drive you into doing something that harsh.
You can't let them drive you into apologizing, even.
You're right. You're absolutely
you've gotta,
right.
You've got to be like, no. I mean, they didn't make him. Nobody, none of these people, you hit the nail on the head when you said, he got into the industry around the gatekeepers
mm-hmm.
because he did WYSIWYG
right.
and he did Hip Hop Family Tree. And right. I guarantee you, there are so many people that are jealous because that project, Hip Hop Family Tree, it reached an audience that mainstream comics don't reach. And it's cool in a way that a lot of indie books want to be cool, but they're not. And again, it's not my thing. I've read a couple of the volumes. You know, I'm not a hip hop guy, but it had a huge reach, and I think that made that kind of jealousy drives people crazy, and they wanted to see him burn. There were people just waiting. Heck, dude, I'm on the Cartoonist Kayfabe Ringside Seats group in Facebook, and they were all mad at S. Piscor before this happened. Before this happened, they were going to change the name of because they had somebody on that they didn't like. I don't even know who it was.
Who gives a fuck? They don't watch that episode.
Exactly. And they were like, and literally, I mean, you go back and look, there people were like, oh, Ed's doing this, and Ed's always talking about jobbers and doing, and they, it was.
So?
It was jealousy, and it was.
A jobber in a wrestling term is just a guy that's just not a name, right? He's just a guy.
Yeah, he's a guy that comes in and does what he's supposed to do.
Beat. He gets slapped around and beat.
Yeah, his job is to get beat, but you know, and Ed would talk about that kind of stuff, and he would use wrestling terms. I mean, comics kayfabe or cartoonist kayfabe.
Right.
But they were talking about change, and I think it's just people were jealous of him. You know, he got to go to Japan with Jeff Darrow. He got to, you know, he did a
book. I think more than once.
Yeah, multiple times he went to, you know, and he came, like you say, he came from nothing.
Oh,
and he had overnight success.
Super
and you
poor.
Know he
made, well, I don't know about overnight success.
Well, okay, he seemingly over. I mean, Hip Hop Family Tree had to take him a while to do.
Well, dude. On the thing I saw, he could only do 2 pages a week.
Oh, my gosh.
2 pages a week.
Yeah, what is it? 400
it's
pages?
It's got to be. The book is 500, but there's probably 400 or so, 300 to 400
of
pages.
Extra
of
extra stuff.
Well, no. Of story. And then maybe 150 or...
Well, when you read it,
I mean,
forever to write because it's heavily referenced. And it's not like, this is the story of this.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much stuff going on every page.
Yeah.
And there's little vignettes, like there might be a panel on a page that tells the history of some rapper.
Yeah.
And it's like, how much did he have to research just for that one panel?
I don't know about research, but I think he lived that stuff.
He
was eating that shit up.
Yeah. It was
like
passion to him.
Like we were eating Star Wars up in 77. He's eating.
Oh, it was a passion project for him.
Right.
And I think people were jealous. People are horrible. They're petty, and I hate to say it. I disagree, but the comic industry is full of petty, jealous people.
They may be petty, but I know there's a lot of them have a lot of friends out there too. And
yeah,
I just felt like if his friend, no matter what the situation, and I've watched enough Dateline where people they've got the guy, but the guy never says he did it, and you have to prove the guy did it. And I'm convinced that is got to be your take, no matter what.
You're like, oh, yeah.
I didn't do it. No. And then make them prove you did it, basically. I mean...
Yeah, she had no proof, other than edited text messages.
Right. And I mean, and for his whole career to come... And you know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of the whole Chris Hardwick thing when he was... He does podcasts. He hosts The Talking Dead after The Walking Dead. He's a stand-up comedian. He had an ex-girlfriend that said he mistreated her or whatever. Meanwhile, he quit dating her. He dates somebody else. He ends up marrying somebody else. She's got sour grapes against him.
So
what happens is she makes these accusations about him. He's off his TV show for a few episodes. We have a guest host. While they're figuring out what really happened, and then all these people were bagging on, calling him a scumbag.
Yeah.
Tons of people were.
Yeah.
And then it comes.
And they don't know.
They don't know anything. They don't know shit. Because it's basically him and his ex-girlfriend. But all these people call him a scumbag. Oh, I always knew he was dirty. I knew he was just a scumbag.
People were saying the same thing about Ed Piskor.
And then what happens? Like, there's nothing to this. There's nothing to this. The girlfriend may even recant it. I don't know. But anyways, after it all washes out, he still has his job. Nothing happens of it. But all these people, in fact, a couple of people, I know who they are because I follow them on Facebook, unfortunately. They were part of the whole, I know he's a scumbag. And I'm like, how do you know he's a scumbag? What are you basing that on?
Yeah, you don't know him.
You don't know him at all.
Ed Piskor the same way. And people were saying...
In a podcast I follow, heavily, I've been following this podcast for years, one of the guys on there said he knew Ed Piskor was a scumbag or something. And I'm like, dude.
And what are you basing that off of?
Exactly. And I go...
You don't know him.
I can't believe they would say that on their show. Or actually went on a show... I also follow their feed. I listen to podcasts, but I follow their feed.
Like on their Twitter or whatever?
Well, sort of on a Twitter. It's not really that, but yeah, you get the idea. But I follow their feed, and a lot of their other listeners comment on the feed too. But it wasn't one of the listeners. It was one of the hosts said that. And I'm like, dude, that really bothered me. Piskor's still alive at this point, right?
Right.
But because the Hardwick thing... I know you can't do that.
No.
And then he bags on, and then a few days later, Piskor kills himself. Well, so
there were people on the internet going,
why do people jump to conclusions like this?
Because it gives them a feeling of power. It makes them feel powerful to go, I always knew. It's like secret knowledge.
Yeah.
I always knew.
You know what Larry David says? Where's the hunch at? You had a hunch?
By the way, I have a hunch that Larry David is going to go to jail.
Well, that's the hunch of he's going to go to jail because it's how Seinfeld ended.
Right. I think they're going to do it like Seinfeld.
I don't know.
May end up going black. Like Sopranos.
The screen black. I didn't even mean Leon black. No. I think that I'm hopeful that he saw the error of the end of Seinfeld, and I'm hoping that he's got to get off at the end. He's got to make a U-turn. Like, people might think he's going to go to jail. I'm hoping he's going to get a U-turn at the end.
Everybody's hating him, though. Everybody's hating him the whole time. Anyway, right. So one guy was saying, oh, I was Ed Piskor was shifty. Why do you wear those sunglasses? Yeah. Well, he wore sunglasses because he wore glasses. And supposedly the lights from when they filmed the video bothered his eyes, so he wore prescription sunglasses when they did it.
I got some. I like them. Yeah, sure.
People, they're shallow. They're petty. Right. They have nothing in their life. They feel like life has basically shit on them.
This makes
them feel better to go, I always knew.
So unpopular. Opinion right now. We're going to give you an unpopular opinion. And this is where I wish we had more listeners. Because I kind of feel like, this is how pissed I am. I'm super pissed. I'm really, really pissed. I kind of feel like that I wish there was like a mob mentality who would go, you know what? We're going to go after all the who came after him.
Well,
about all of them.
No.
Because there's some pros that need to be called
out.
Here's
what needs to happen.
There's some pros that need to be called out.
Let me tell you what needs to happen. Because I am not in favor of that. Because that's the same thing.
It is the same thing, but they need to do their own fucking medicine.
Well, they do. I agree. But what needs to happen, and this is, I'm going to say this.
Be very controversial.
I'm going to be controversial.
Good.
Ed Piskor did 3 volumes of X-Men Grand Design.
Yeah, yeah.
C.B. Sobolski, our friend, needs to come out and say, Marvel will not tolerate bullies and we will not employ bullies. And I guarantee you, a lot of these people will think second if they do it and other publishers follow that. If they think that that's going to hurt them in a career, they will think about that.
Well...
No, that's all he's got to say. He could, he's posting pictures of food.
Well,
by the way, I texted him last night.
Well, thank you. But
I didn't text him that.
I was hoping you'd text him something about Ed Piskor, but
I did. No, I did.
Oh, good.
I said it's crushing about Piskor.
Did he comment back to you?
Nothing but crickets.
Well, And I know he's busy.
He's busy. I don't fault him for not, but I do fault him for not saying, and to be fair, he may have reached out to Ed's family behind the scenes. He may have done something behind the scenes, but I think this requires a publishers. But the problem is there's editors at Marvel that do this kind of shit. Here's my problem. One is people in that cartoonist kayfabe ringside seats group that I'm in on Facebook, which has now changed its name to CKRS. And
what does that stand for?
And well, it's cartoonist kayfabe ringside seats, but they're trying to divorce themselves from the show because they weren't happy with the way the interviews go. They weren't happy with
that. But that's just part of the show.
Those people have piled on to Ed, and now they're like, oh my gosh. But several of them come out and said, you know, I feel really bad because I was one that thought he was shady. And but you know what?
Yeah.
It's too late. You know what I said? I think I. You know what I told? Rob Liefeld did a long video about this.
Not on him.
Not a long video, but a video.
On Piscor?
No, because they were friends.
On Piscor?
Yes.
Really? Okay.
Oh yeah, and he was hot and visibly upset.
Yeah.
But I said, you know, from like 2000 to 2000, I think I said 2010, 2015, mm-hmm. I drew approximately 700 pages of samples trying to get in the industry. Mm-hmm. And I said, I thank God every day that I never did because the industry is full of wolves who'll stab you in the back for nothing. I said, I hope what some of these people have done haunts them until the day they die. But I don't think it will. Because they're heartless.
Yeah. You know? It's too bad that he didn't have what it took to kind of hang in there.
It is.
Whatever that took.
Well,
and you watch the videos, he just seemed like an innocent guy. Just a kind of a...
Well, did you see the picture of him that was on his... somebody posted a picture of the folder from the funeral. Somebody that was local went to the funeral.
Well, they've already had the funeral?
Yeah, they had it yesterday or the day before.
Seriously? Shit, yeah. That's quick.
They said they didn't... They posted the day after because they said they didn't want anybody doing anything about the, you know, the funeral home or whatever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in it, he was wearing a bucket hat and he was wearing normal glasses and he just had kind of a goofy smile and he looked like he was probably maybe like 17 or 20 or something.
Yeah.
But... I don't know. It's you know, and at one point, somebody said that he was saying something about, you know, he couldn't believe he had to put, you know, his parents are elderly apparently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he had to put them through this, and the news put them on the news put their freaking address on the, you know, so no telling what kind of nonsense they've got. You know, it's
they may have to move.
It's horrible. This is a horrible situation. I said the thing that I said the comic industry is full of wolves. I was commenting somewhere else. I said I've always thought the comic industry is full of wolves. I've decided it's full of cannibals because there's still people that want to kick him. You know,
I know who these people are because it just pisses me off so much. You have no idea.
Well,
I am that.
They need reckoning. I mean, they need to be blackballed from the comic industry.
I feel like if I was at a convention and some were there, I'd have to fucking say something. I mean, I don't know what I'd say.
Well, I don't. There are some people I've.
They're not going to run me out of the industry.
But yeah. Well, and that was the thing about Ed Piscor. They didn't bring him in the industry. They couldn't run him out through normal channels. You know, they couldn't get him blackballed at Marvel. Abrams doesn't care, so when they saw this, they circled and just like wolves, man. They circled around him.
Gosh,
it's horrible.
It's bad enough he had his downfall, but God, the guy did not have to kill himself. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah,
I mean, think about this. It's like John Lennon. John Lennon got shot and killed at 40. You know, Paul McCartney's still going strong. You know, it's like 40 years of shit that we didn't get to see what he would have done. Same with Ed Piscor, he's like 41.
Yeah.
So like basically 40 years of cool shit he might have came up with.
Well, and here's the thing.
We got ripped off out of.
Here's the thing is, you know, I don't care what anybody says about I don't like cartoonist kayfabe. They the comics industry needs people to pump up the fans.
Yeah.
In the 90s, they had Wizard.
Yep.
You know, Wizard was gone. We've had this vacuum of nothing. I mean, there are online sites, but they're terrible.
Mm-hmm.
They're not enthusiastic.
I know.
You know, the closest we... Everybody bags on Rob Liefeld, but he's like the biggest fan of comics.
Yeah.
He talks about how much he loves comics. Rob's a... I mean, and I've...
He's a good ambassador.
He's a good ambassador. And Cartoons Kayfabe was like that. Ed was like that. Ed is gone. I guarantee you, the whole industry will suffer because of his loss.
And I'm also... This may be unpopular, too, but really, I like Jim Rugg, but Ed Piskor carried the conversation.
I agree.
You probably watched as much as I did of it, or more.
Yeah, I watched a lot of it. Ed was more the...
I would say...
He was the ringleader, for sure.
I would say he was 80%. And Rugg would pretty much agree or point out a few things, but Ed would pretty much was kind of the leader of the...
Ed, I think, held up... I mean, Jim Rugg held up his end, I think, but he definitely wasn't as vocal as... And exactly. He wasn't as enthusiastic.
I mean...
And he's probably 10 years older than him, maybe?
Maybe, but he's... I don't think he had the knowledge base for whatever reason that Piskor had.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
I don't know. I mean, just so you think, well, could he do it without Piskor? No. Who are you going to put in there?
Well, I don't think he could do it just talking.
No.
I mean, had the roles been reversed, I think Ed could have carried the show by himself.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was that kind of a guy.
Right.
Very buoyant.
Right.
Very, very personable.
He could bring in a guest.
He could bring in a guest.
I don't see Rugg doing that.
I don't think Rugg... I mean, he'll have to bring... If he brings somebody else on...
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that... I think the magic will be gone.
Oh, it's already gone. Yeah. The whole thing is...
Because I don't know if Jim Rugg ever went to Japan with Jeff Darrow.
No, I don't think he did.
Yeah, I mean, he's a family guy. Which, yeah. I mean, and I'm bagging on it. There's nothing wrong with that. I haven't gone to Japan with Jeff Darrow, but...
Oh, that'd be kick-ass, though. That would be so kick... Did you see Jeff Darrow posted a photo of him with some other guys in Piskor in the photo?
Yeah.
God.
Somebody posted...
That's gotta be so sad, because, you know, he called Jeff Darrow, like, Uncle Jeff and stuff.
Yeah, he called him Uncle Jeff.
That's got to be so sad for Jeff Darrow, because I know Jeff Darrow thought this guy's really looked up to him and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's just an unfucking fortunate turn of events.
Well, and that's the sad thing, and...
I was upset about this as I am as when Tom Petty died, and I was pretty upset about Tom Petty.
Dude, you know, I was listening to Tom Petty last night, and...
He's like, well, there's not going to be new Tom Petty CDs, that just sucks. That just sucks.
It does. Yeah. Well, and don't get me wrong. I just want to make sure anybody listens understands. When celebrities die, I'm sad for their family, but I don't really care. I mean, I'll be honest. Everybody talked about Robin Williams. I mean, I like Robin Williams okay, but
well, people say Robin Williams like oh, it's okay. Yeah, whatever. I mean,
I don't care about
not my guy either. Not my guy either.
I mean, I don't know if there's any celebrities now that if they died, I would be like, oh my gosh.
I've never heard some cool. Oh, for me, it'd be William Shatner. I'm a huge Shatner fan.
Yeah, he's kind of overdue, so I wouldn't shock me too much.
I mean, he's in his 90s, you know.
That would be sad. But I mean,
Harrison Ford maybe.
Harrison Ford maybe, but
Shatner would be way worse for me than Harrison Ford though. But I mean, you know, Shatner's like 93 or something.
But and even like singer or like musicians, normally it's like, Tom Petty though, you know. I don't know why.
Tom Petty was like he wasn't like doing drugs because he did drugs because he had pain because he had his hip needed to have surgery on it. So he's taking not really prescription, he's taking medication for that. He got a bad batch and had fentanyl and it killed him. If it would have been for that, he'd still be around.
Dude, freaking fentanyl's ruining this country. That's a whole other story, another episode.
Yeah, I knew.
But so I say that to say, any kind of like, I'm me being pissed about this, or it is not like I get pissed when everybody dies, kind of thing. This is like a big deal, you know.
It's a big deal.
The way
for me.
It happened is very, and it was, and it, you know, it happened so fast.
Yeah, it's like within 5 days, right?
Something like that, yeah.
You know, that's just a kind of a thing where you need to take a deep breath. Like a week later, think about it, a week later, the news would be gone. The girl probably would have shut up by now because she's already gave her, she's already blown her wad unless she's got something else that's damning.
Well, then you got like a...
What do you got left?
Wait another 4 years.
All you got left is just the complainers that were railing on him, you know, and those guys can fuck off. Well, I wish the guys I was telling you about, the two guys in the podcast I was watching.
Oh, yeah.
The video thing.
Well, talk about that for a second. Fisher Hart was one of them. Remember what the name of the podcast... It's a YouTube thing, right?
It's a YouTube video I watched.
Somebody linked it.
Let me see here. All right, so I watched a couple of videos. One was an interview where, I don't know who was interviewing him, but he went to his house he lived in when he was growing up, and it was really rough. The house is in rough condition. He's talking about growing up super poor and not having a lot here and there, but they didn't have paper and pencil, and he drew a lot and that kind of thing. And then I watched another video, and the guy that's, and I don't know his video's called or what his show's called, but his name is Kevin Strange, and he interviewed Hart D. Fisher. And Hart D. Fisher is a guy that was in comics. Supposedly he knows everybody. He got out of comics, did some adult videos, did some videos like music videos. He's I guess was back into comics for a while. Did he do Veronica?
Yes.
Yeah, publisher, whatever, Veronica. He considered Ed Piskor like an outlaw comic guy, kind of like he was. And I guess this Fisher D. Hart's been on Cartoonist Kayfabe. They've talked about him. They've interviewed him, or at least Jim Rugged interviewed him, and he'd been on a couple episodes of their... I haven't seen these episodes. This is what they're saying. Anyways, he's talking to Kevin Strange, and they both had read the letter. And now this video they shot was the day that, it was April 1st, it was right after it came out that Ed Piskor was found dead. And so they both did this YouTube video over Skype or something. They're not in the same room. But you can tell this Kevin Strange had knows Fisher D. Hart. They talk like they knew each other. And then Fisher D. Hart, even though I didn't know who he was, he started talking about everything he's done in the past, which is pretty legit. And how he'd been a guest on the show, and so that's pretty legit. And how much Ed Piskor looked up to him for what he's done, which, okay, that's cool. And they're talking about, they saw his phone number, and at least Kevin Strange tried to call him, if not Fisher D. Hart, to basically give him some defense for all the horse shit. Like, because the Kevin Strange was also saying that he's an indie cartoonist, too, that's taking some shit. And so they're used to taking shit, especially Fisher D. Hart, but in some cases, even this Kevin Strange. And so they had some stuff they could tell him about, hey, ignore it, keep your head down. If you have to, you know, move, if you, you know, out of the town you're in, if you have to, go to France, you know, Jeff Darrow, he can hook you up with some publishers, go to Japan, you know, people over there.
Yeah, you have options.
Because in France and Japan, they don't give a fuck about this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You can keep your head down for 2 or 3 years and come back with all this body of work, and by then this will all blow over, especially if you're not going to get legally charged, you know, if there's nothing to really arrest you for.
Apparently there wasn't.
Right. And so they had a lot of stuff to tell him because they've been through worse. Fisher D. Hart said that he had a couple of friends have committed suicide. He runs the Rough Crowd, I guess. He's knows people that have been involved in drugs or whatnot. He's... One of his girlfriends was murdered or something, and another girlfriend had gotten raped. He had to go to the trial and testify against the guy that did it. And so this Fisher D. Hart has been around some wild stuff from what he was saying. So he had a different person. He's an older guy. He's a different perspective on this. And they were both saying, compared to some shit they've been involved in, this is nothing. This is fucking nothing compared to some shit they've been in. And that's the sad fucking part.
Yeah.
These two guys have been in some real... trench warfare of
we're in trouble.
Real stuff.
People are protesting.
Yeah, real world stuff of like going to court, and then also like court of public opinion with people on the fucking internet. And they've dealt with both, right? Because they're older and they're, you know, they've done whatever.
Been around the block.
They've been way around the block. And maybe Piskor hasn't been. He's 41, but he's if you watch the videos, he just seems like this
kind of just this...
kind of a goofy dude. I'm just, not trying to be rude.
No, not at all, but just, I want to say like an innocent, like, just he just wanted to do comics. He liked hip-hop and wanted to do comics. And he wasn't ready for this onslaught of horse shit.
No.
Meanwhile, these guys were like, if we could get a hold of him, we could talk to him. Well, it wasn't to be, you know. And so anyways, their video, I watched the first...
But they tried to get hold of him beforehand, right?
They did. One of them tried to call him, yeah.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, at least they got that for themselves.
They tried. And I know other people tried, too, because his phone's disconnected, from what I understand. But their video is like a four-hour video. I watched the first hour of it. It's what they're talking about, just their life experience and what he should have done or what he could have done. And you think about it, you're like, damn, man, they're right. They're 100% right. This unless other allegations come to light, which doesn't look like they're going to, that was it. Yeah, he might have lost his book deal. Yeah, you know, maybe the court of public opinion is, maybe people cons, maybe he can't do cons for a while because people might boo him or whatever. But on the other hand, if you read his rebuttal to what he was telling this girl, maybe it wasn't all so bad, you know? And then also, where's the rest of her text back to him?
Yeah. Why did she continue to talk to him afterwards?
Right. And why is she bringing this up so long? Yeah, why is she bringing this up right now? And who took out all of her responses? Because most of those were gone. I don't know. It's just unbelievable.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. You know, here's the thing about the internet, though. You know, people on the internet can be horrible because they're hiding behind a screen name, or anonymous.
Right.
But you can unplug from that. You do not have to engage with those people. Now,
he's younger. He's more engaged than me and you, for sure.
Oh, for sure. I mean, he's got a YouTube channel. Yeah, so there's more on the line, certainly. But
he had to read the comments.
But here's the thing. First off, he didn't have to kill himself, obviously. But you gotta, if you're in these positions, you gotta take it in terms of what's really happening versus what's happened on the internet, because that's not a reality.
Right, you're right.
You know what he had to worry about was first off, he had to have had a support system that would have supported him even though people were coming after him, He should have went after the news station for putting that, for putting out an unfounded rumor, for putting their address on there.
Yeah.
He should have immediately went after that and demanded something.
Yeah.
He should have not worried about the internet. Take a break, unplug from the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Change your phone number, whatever you need to do.
Check into a hotel.
Maybe go on a vacation.
Yeah.
You know, go someplace.
Well,
that's what I said before he killed himself. People were talking about, what's Ed going to do? And I said, I feel like Ed Piskor is like Clark Kent. He could take off the sunglasses, take off the bucket hat, and no one would recognize him.
Probably not. Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I say that, and when I said that, he was still alive. But I mean it still. You know, he had kind of fashioned a persona, so he actually had a little bit of advantage over a lot of people because he could have easily disguised himself.
Mm-hmm.
Could he do cartoons kayfabe? You can do a video and turn off comments.
Exactly.
You know, there are things that they could have done that he could have done to minimize instead of becoming, letting just overwhelm him. You know, change your email, don't answer your email, block your email. There are things you could do. You know, address the thing with Abrams and just say, hire a lawyer to go after Abrams and say, this is an unfounded rumor, and you're going to... I don't know if he had signed a contract, or they withdrew an offer. I don't know where they... surely there wasn't a contract signed, or they couldn't have done that, but...
Sounds like they withdrew the offer. But big deal. Just keep working.
Find another one.
Exactly.
They didn't make him. They couldn't break him unless he let them.
Yeah.
And unfortunately... And again, I'm not trying to talk bad about him, because, I mean, I wouldn't want to go through that. But unfortunately, he couldn't make the right choices.
He couldn't see the big picture.
Yeah, and I think
he was looking at it too. He needed to look on the out. You know what I mean?
He
was magnified on the bad stuff and not like,
Well, he'd wanted to make comics forever, and he thought his career was crumbling before his eyes. But, and you know, I have had a nephew that killed himself. I've had two friends at work that have killed themselves. You know, and I think, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I'm an expert on it, but I think when people get to that mindset, first off, I think it's almost impossible to talk them out of it. When they go down that path, because a lot of times people go, and I've heard people saying, oh, if I could have got hold of him. I think at a certain point, even if you got hold of him, it wouldn't have done anything. He might have said, but then he wouldn't have done it.
You might have to commit him.
Yeah, that's why people get committed that are attempting suicide, because they need professional help.
Probably with the allegations and the letter, that might have been enough. I don't know.
Yeah, but it could have been. But I think that getting in these situations and just focusing on the problem instead of looking at the big, like you said, the big picture.
Yeah.
And even though,
like, what's this going to look like a year from now?
Exactly. What does my life look like beyond this? And he couldn't see that, obviously, or he wouldn't have taken his life. He felt like his life was already over. I think I'm speculating.
I just wish that some of those commenters would have stepped up and said, no, shut the fuck up.
That's the thing, is nobody people should have defended him.
It should start out with Jim Rugg.
And all these people now are going, oh.
Jim Rugg, which I may not buy another thing from Jim Rugg, and I love Jim Rugg's work, but this really pisses me off. I really feel like Jim Rugg should have said, if they come to mutual understanding that either it's Jim Rugg's idea he's disassociated himself, or if it's a mutual understanding that he's going to just... I think Jim Rugg has got to say, no way, I'm hanging with you, man.
Yeah.
He's got to go online and go, I'm hanging with him.
Yeah.
And I don't care what all these people say.
Well.
And the fact he didn't do that makes me go, no, son.
Let's face it, though. Most people are pussies. And they don't want to put themselves in that
position.
Most
people are pussies, but I think Jim Rugg and Tom Scioli should have stepped up for this guy.
Yeah, I think so, too.
And I mean,
they could have.
They both should have.
Yeah, they don't have to defend his actions.
And maybe even Darrow, if Darrow was aware. I know Darrow found out later on, but if Darrow was aware, maybe...
Well, Darrow's response, I thought, was a little tepid, even after the fact, I thought. But
I mean...
You got to step up.
I feel like you've got to have some people in your corner.
You have some strong... That's the problem, is people don't have spines.
And even these two guys that did this thing, like, they aren't friends of his, and they got more of a spine than his friends did.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, that's
exactly.
How shitty the whole deal is.
Well, you know, it's again, most people don't, you know...
I mean...
It reminds me of a conversation I had with a guy at work. So I got in this situation. I can't go into the details, but... An employee was called into somebody's office about something he had done. And I was told ahead of time, hey, I got to talk to one of your employees about this. What should I do?
Mm-hmm.
And basically they were asking me, how hard do you want me to come after him? Well, I thought about it.
Do you like the guy?
Well,
or
I like it. I like the guy.
Or gal.
But I mean, I don't have any favorites. I'm fair but firm.
If they fired him, would that be a pisser for you?
He wasn't going to get fired.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't that kind of thing.
Okay.
But he needed to learn a lesson about something he had done.
Okay.
So first I told the guy, come in, we'll say medium hard. Again, he's not going to get fired. It was basically, I can write him a coaching slip.
Hmm.
And I said...
That sounds hard.
That sounds hard, doesn't it? I said, do it. And then later I said, you know what? Let's just talk to him.
What about two coaching slips?
I do one, you do one.
Yeah. Here's one from him, and here's one because you're pissing me off because of this.
So the guy, so we go in there, and the guy, he talks about what he did. I told him, I said, don't do that. I said, I think this guy will get it if we just talk to him. I think that might be too much. And the guy's like sweating. And I could tell he was very nervous. And he goes...
The guy dishing it out was nervous?
No. The guy had taken it.
Oh, okay.
And he said, I got a question. And I go... And so the guy that was leading the thing, who outranks me by several levels. One level. He said, I got a question. He said, what's the company policy on snitching? And I looked at him, and I go, well, you know.
Snitches get stitches.
No. I said, there is no company policy on snitching. I said, we're all adults here. I said, if you have something you want to say, just say it. It's, you know. And so then he spilled the beans about how what he did, someone else had put him up to.
Oh, nice.
So he said.
I love
and
that.
So I love that. We talked about it, and the guy, and then we left. And so I came back later in the guy's office.
Did you go, high five, we got the...
No, you know what I told him? I go, I would never have done that. I said, you don't snitch.
No, but you cracked the guy. The fact you cracked the guy. The fact you cracked the guy is awesome.
We cracked him.
You had the heat lamp on him, he was all sweating. The heat lamp.
The guy, I go, I would never.
So were you the good cop?
No, we were both the bad cop.
Oh.
Well, I was probably the good cop, I guess.
Did you have a pair of pliers?
No, I had him, like, I was extracting molars and fingernails, alternating. No, but I told the guy, I told the supervisor, I said, I would never have done what he did, because my feeling is, I take responsibility for my own actions.
The problem with that, though, is, he's on a certain level. You guys are in management. If you turn over on the people that are on your level, now you've got management against you and the people on your level against
right.
you. Now you've really ostracized yourself from everybody.
Well, and here's the other thing.
So the fact he turned over on his pals or whatever.
Well, and here's the other thing is...
If they have him in prison, they shank you.
Well, yeah. We're not going to shank him. But, I mean, here's the other problem is... A lot of if you stand up for somebody and you're like a stand up guy or whatever, like they'd say in the
Sopranos.
Well, that's what I told the guy. I said he needs to watch the Sopranos and he'd learn you don't do that.
Yeah, really.
But if you stand up, people respect you. And I mean, even in an office setting, and I think that if people had stood up for Ed, one, maybe Ed would be alive. And two, I think out of this, they would have had more respect, you know, maybe. Who knows? But at least Ed might be alive.
You know, the three guys, between him and Rugg and Sholey, I really liked Piskor the most on what they've done.
I agree.
And it makes me kind of not want to buy the other two guys' shit a little bit. I mean, that's how pissed I am at this guy.
Well, the only thing I would say about that is...
They should have came to his aid. They should have came to his aid.
In Ed's note, he named people that had done him wrong.
Yeah.
And he did not name any of those guys.
Yeah.
So I think whatever...
No, they didn't do him wrong, but they didn't do him right in the end.
Well,
either.
They should have... Even if... We'll assume... Because he said he talked to Jim Rugg.
Yeah.
So we'll assume him and Jim Rugg... He told Jim Rugg to cut ties with him. Jim Rugg should have refused.
That's what I'm saying.
He should have refused.
Right.
But...
I expect you to come to my aid.
I'd come to... Yeah.
I know you would. You're
oh,
more,
100%.
You're more of a stand-up guy than I am, so I know you'd come to my aid. Hey, I know these things. We've known each other We've known each other for over 30 years.
I mean, you know...
I mean, we've known each other for over 40 years. I know you're stand-up
guy. Beyond all the stand-up... You know, this is a horrible thing. Well, first off, anytime anybody commits suicide is horrible. I said I've known quite a few people who commit suicide. It's a horrible thing. The thing that I think people never see that do this or contemplating this, they don't see how it affects the people around them.
That's another thing. He didn't have the macro vision to see how it's going to affect his elderly mom and dad, his brother and sister, his fans, his friends, whoever they may be, because they didn't come to his aid. And even like his publishers and everybody else that were kind of dependent on him, the Darrows and people like that of the world, he was so focused on his own little hell he was in that now everybody else is feeling the ramification of what he did.
Right.
And that puts everybody else in a bad spot.
Well, and, you know, I said my nephew committed suicide, you know, I mean, my sister, you know, that's tore her up.
Right.
And
yeah.
When at his funeral, there were all these people there, you know, because my nephew, he would ride bulls at these clubs, these rodeo clubs they have.
Oh, really?
And so he would hang out at these bars. And so all his bar friends were there. And my mom was like, oh, if he could see how much these people loved him. And I go, do they love him? Or are they just sad. I mean, you know, it's like, I mean, it's shallow, I guess.
Hang on a minute.
But
I don't go to funerals on a whim, though. So if people actually showed up, that's something.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. But I just think sometimes people are surrounded by shallow people. And I think we saw that in some of the comic industry when Ed was facing these problems. But if he could have seen... Ed's blood is on their head.
Right.
I replied to Rob Liefeld's thing. I said, I hope it haunts them to their dying day. The problem is, I don't think these people have...
Isn't one of them Alex DeCampi?
One of them is Alex DeCampi. Has she done anything?
I do have a book she's done. Wrote a story or something in it. Still, it's...
I'm telling you, though, I think
she might have been the biggest name I recognized.
That's the one that I heard. I'm telling you, though, I think the publishers need to come out and say, we do not support internet bullying, and if we know that an employee of ours is bullying, they will be fired or disciplined or whatever. But they won't do that.
No, they're too much pussies.
Yeah. They're not stand-up guys either.
No, they'd rather see a guy like Ed piss or kill himself.
Yeah, because they don't care. It's like, what have you done for me lately? You know, Ed Fisker was a one-trick pony, you know. It's like, well, you did X-Men Grand Design.
Marvel.
They're not going to hire him to do another X-Men book. I mean, they wouldn't have, you know, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to talk about a couple things briefly. I said that he did the 12 issues, three trades of Red Rooms. In Red Room, there's 12 issues, there's three trades. The trades all have a lot of bonus material in the back. It's not for everybody. It is a dark internet group.
What do you call it? Internet snuff films?
It's internet snuff films is what it is. It's very dark, very, very gruesome. His artwork in it is unbelievable, but it is not for... probably 90% of the comic viewing public. did a book, and that's through Fantagraphics. He did a book through Top Shelf called WYSIWYG about the computer hacker. Unbelievably, I bought this book.
Oh, yeah, beforehand? It's sold out now, by the way.
I bought it before it sold out.
Yeah. Did you buy it recently?
I bought it the day he killed himself.
Oh, okay.
No, I bought Hip Hop Family Tree. I was never going to buy this because...
Not a hip-hop fan.
I'm not a hip-hop fan at all. However, this book has been on sale on Amazon. It's a $75 book. As you can see, it's oversized.
They had it for like $30 or something, didn't they?
It's like $45. Oh, okay. Might have been cheaper at one point. Yeah, but almost half off. It's like just $40, $45, something like that. It's a little bit oversized. It's 504 pages.
Well, the original books are oversized.
Yeah, they're bigger than this, though.
Yeah.
It's 504 pages, but there's literally a 300 and something of story, plus all the covers, all the variant covers, some afterward stuff. 375 of story and 100 and something more of extras. It's a really nice package. I'm about 30. I'd already read some of the free Comic Book Day stuff like that, but I'm about 30 pages into it. And, you know, I'm not into hip-hop or any of that, but... It's pretty interesting. It's a damn interesting book, and you can tell he put a lot of heart and soul into this. I'm liking it. I will finish this book. He did the X-Men Grand Design. I didn't bring that to the table. I also wanted to bring this to the table. This is called The Beats. I think I've talked about this on the podcast at one point. It's written by Harvey Pekar, and 2/3 of the artwork is Piskor, and then the back third is a few other artists doing some kind of short story type stuff. But I've only read this much of it. I never got back to
it. Is it about like the beat poets and stuff?
Just stuff like that, yeah.
Okay.
I've read maybe a third of it or so, maybe a fourth of it. But he's crediting Harvey Pekar as the one that gave him his first professional job.
Oh, yeah.
So I've got a copy of it. Like I said, I've read maybe a third of it or so. I'll finish this one day. But anyways, I wanted to shed some light on this, too. This is something he worked on before he got to be the Ed Piskor that we know now. But, you know, that's about it. He's got his online strip he was working on. He was going to sell that to Abrams, the Switchblade Funnies or whatever it was called.
Switchblade Shorties.
Shorties, that's it, yeah. And so I know that was an online thing he had working. I think he had to pay
Patreon to see it or whatever. And I would have bought that when that came out, but that's probably never to be at this point because of all the internet fuckheads. But anyways,
campy.
Yeah. Anyway, so very sad news, and it's unbelievable. And I hate that he had to kill himself over all this horseshit.
Yeah, it's. Well, like I texted C.B. Sobolski, it's crushing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's. And again, I mean, I don't think I own anything he's done.
Oh, yeah. I thought you had WYSIWYG. You know WYSIWYG?
I don't have WYSIWYG. I've read it for the library.
Okay, all right.
You know, but I watched Cartoonist Kayfabe a lot.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed him. I followed him, his Instagram. I followed him on all the different social medias. And it's, you know, I mean, the comic book, you know, I've said several times, the comic book industry is full of wolves and cannibals. And it's just become a very heartless industry. I think part of it is, because it was real popular and as popular it dropped off. But with the success of the movies, it's kind of seen as like a stepping stone to something, but there's a lot of money in it if you work in comics. And so there's kind of an air of desperation that people are there's a lot of pettiness and a lot of jealousy, and it's gone on for a long time. And several internet YouTube people have said, you know, all of this bullying and harassing and that goes on, and this, you know, there's a whole whisper network of that's organized where people will spread rumors and organize who they're going to go after. I mean, this is a literal thing. Editors of from comic book companies are in this. It's these secret groups, and you know, people have said someone is going to kill themselves over this, and it's finally happened. And you know, I'll be honest with you, I'm so disappointed on how all this has happened and what's happened, and just frustrated by it. I'm almost to the point where it's like, I just want to see the comic industry burn, you know? It's just like, I've got all the books I need.
Mm-hmm.
I got more than I could ever read. I got a bunch in the mail today. if the industry burned, and Marvel Comics put an out of business sign, and DC and whoever else, I mean, and I know people who work for them, and that'd be so sad, you know, but I'd almost be like, they asked for it because they fostered an industry that, who would want to work in it? I mean, who'd want to work in an industry where if you made the slightest transgression, you voiced the wrong opinion, you voted for the wrong person, you said Happy Easter and somebody got mad at you, or you said Happy Ramadan and somebody got mad, anything, whatever it is, you don't wear the right ribbon like Kramer, And they come after you, and it doesn't pay anything. It doesn't. There's no prestige to it. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm drawing comics right now, but I'll do my comics, and we may have a publisher lined up. But even if we don't have a publisher lined up, I'll still draw because I like drawing. Mm. But I'll draw for myself if that's what the industry comes to, because it's not really a place that's like fit for people with like a moral compass, I don't think. You know, it's just like, it's just become, I don't know. This has really soured me on the comic industry as a whole. Not that I wasn't already soured about it, you know. And if you want to say, if you want to listen to this and go, well, Scott's just annoyed because he's not working for Marvel or his book didn't sell well or whatever, well, whatever. That's just your opinion, man. Trust me, I got a job paying way more than I'd ever make in comics. So
yeah, that's the thing.
With 401k, vacation, insurance.
That's the thing.
So, you know,
and
whatever.
And that's kind of the thing that, you know, I'm sure Piscor doesn't have.
Right. He doesn't have the ability to say, right here.
Yeah. And so a big payday like a sign-on bonus for a book, you know, that might keep him going for a couple years.
Yeah.
And, you know, and not getting that is a crushing blow.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have the fallback careers that we've got.
Yeah. So, or successful wives like we have.
Right. So, I mean, you know, all you got to take all that into consideration on where he was coming from. But anyway, just the, I think, in a way, I think if they wouldn't have got his family involved, maybe he could have got out of this. Maybe he could just went away. But when you start harassing his family and all that, I think
they planned that.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, you know, they did, people did everything they could to take him down, you know.
All right, that's enough. It's too depressing.
I hope it haunts them until they die.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, even after that. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, let's wrap this up right here on the sad note. As always, I've been your host, Neil Nelson, joined by my other host,
Scott Sackett.
Hey, yo, come back next week for hopefully a happier episode. Check out our blog at betterthanfictionthepodcast.blogspot.com, where I want to post some cool stuff that Ed Piskor has worked on in the past.
And if you enjoyed this podcast, please take a second to leave a review and subscribe. This will help other people find the podcast. Also, if you want to boycott some of the people that drove Ed to do this, feel free to. We've talked about some of them. You can find their names out there. Feel free to. We're not going to organize that, but, you know.
We should.
Do it as you should. But if you are boycotting people, buy some other comics at Area 51 Comics and Toys in Pensacola, Florida.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jim Bob. And with that, we'll say, hey, come back next week for another all new episode. See ya. We're out. Read more comics, as Ed Piskor would say.
Yeah.